Well, thank you very much for taking the time being with us. We're excited to have you. Most of the time we talk about all kinds of doctrinal things and end times and all this stuff, which is fun and we love it, but very excited today to have you join us and talk about some of these things that I think are also incredibly important to our health.
Excellent.
So thanks for joining us. And then if you don't mind, maybe we'll just get started. Sometimes we start a few minutes later because people will continue to join over the next couple minutes. But if you don't mind, we'll just jump right in. I know we have a limited amount of time with you, so we'll just get rolling. Would you mind, Jordan, opening this up in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you for coming before you. And I thank you that we're going to reason together, Lord, and though our sins are like scarlet, they should be white as snow. I pray, Lord, that the information that is shared would get a positive impact on people's lives as we believe that food, nutrition, exercise, or healing. You are the healer. Care of our body, which you call the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for wisdom and favor. Let's call in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You know what? I missed some of the prayer. I apologize. I think, I don't know if it's, if you're on a cell phone or whatever, but it was breaking up just a little bit at portions there. So I don't know if there's a way.
I'm not on plan. Breaking up now?
Yeah,
it is a little bit. It's still breaking up just a little bit.
It's a lot for me. I can't hear anything.
Okay. I can always
Okay, I couldn't quite make that out, but do you want to just try it? Do you want to call right back in?
I'll do that.
Okay, sounds good.
All this technology, we can't get a phone call.
I know.
Oh, we'll try again.
Yeah.
He probably lives in the country. You know how that is.
Yeah. You never know. Cloud passes by and there goes.
Yeah.
There goes.
Maybe we never did put a man on the moon. Just saying.
Okay, Jordan, is that you back? Alright.
He might be trying to get a landline too. That might work better, so.
Yeah. So. Well, good. Well, hey, just out of curiosity, how many has, I know my wife and I, we love the book, Baker's Diet, but, and we got a lot from that. Is that, Jordan, are you back with us? Hey, Jordan, are you back with us? All right. He's going to call right back in. It's hard to make out what was being said, so he's going to try on a different line and hopefully join us here in just a moment, and we'll continue on. And actually, what I might do is once we do get Jordan back on and everything, then I may just go ahead and mute everybody out, but it'll be one of those where you can unmute yourself, so we're going to go through a series of questions here, about four or five questions, and they're just going to be kind of short questions and answers, and then we'll open it up for any other questions at the end.
Hi, Cole. It's Jordan. I am back. Hopefully you can hear me.
Much
yes,
better.
I can hear you. Are you very good? Super.
Okay great.
So hey, so before we start with some of these questions that I have ready to go, and then hopefully we'll have a few minutes at the end where people can ask, you know, whatever's on their mind. But before we do that, would you mind, because I know my wife and I really enjoyed the Maker's Diet several years ago. We loved hearing your story. And so for people that maybe are not familiar with your story, would you mind just giving like a couple-minute overview of your story, basically?
Sure. When I was 19 years old, I
out of the blue, became deathly ill with digestive and immune system issues, which resulted in a diagnosis of Crohn's disease, and I had probably 18 other health challenges associated with it. I was down to 104 pounds in a wheelchair at age, or at a height of 6 foot, nearly 1 inch. And during that time, I visited 70 medical experts. Conventional failed, alternative failed, until I met a man 2 years into my illness who taught me how to eat and live, like the Bible says. I was unable to get any results, and I had a tremendous amount of faith, which I guess felt more like a mustard seed-sized faith, but I did believe God would heal me and could heal me, enough so that my mother took my photo at my worst, which now has unaffectionately become known as my before picture, and I'm really glad I did. I didn't have an answer at the time for what would help me, but I knew who would be providing it. And so after 69 experts failed, the short chance that a biblically based health plan could help me was just absolutely exactly what I was looking for, and I would undergo a transformation following God's health plan. I would later call it the Maker's Diet, and in 40 days I was a new person. Another 40 I was back to my old weight and ready to go and tell the world what God had done, armed with a new passion to see the health of his people transformed one life at a time. And over the last nearly 20 years, I was able to write multiple books on health and wellness, started several nutrition companies, became an organic farmer, and have been sharing this message live and through media for the last 15 years all over the world. And that brings us to today.
Very good. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Well, so to jump right in, and if you don't mind, we'll take like 2 or 3 minutes on each of these questions. And I know that, you know, obviously we could spend probably hours on any one of these, but just a couple minutes, kind of the main points, and then we'll open it up for some other comments and questions in about 15 minutes or so. But regarding sugar, what is, you know, we hear things, but what is the truth about sugar?
Well, first and foremost, the sugar is a molecular compound. It's a subcomponent of carbohydrates. And so theoretically, sugar is found in most foods that are not strictly protein foods. Even protein foods have a small amount. What you're probably referring to is the use of added sugars, such as sucrose, which is table sugar. So if you look at total sugars in our diet, from a combination of fruit, but mostly corn syrup, maple syrup, cane sugar, it's probably 5, 10, 20 times greater than it would have been throughout history, maybe more. If you look at biblical times, fruit wasn't available often. When juices were consumed, they were usually fermented, which means the sugar level was low. The fruits themselves were less sweet. And honey was very hard to come by unless maybe you found it in a lion's carcass while walking by the side of the road. You could find honey, but it was eaten as comb and not extracted. So we consume way too much sugar today, and it does greatly affect our insulin levels, can affect our brain health, affects our immune system. And when you eat sugars in your diet, not only can it cause weight gain, but it can cause intense cravings for sugar. So there is no doubt that we use way too much sweetener in our diet today.
Very good. And then I know that there'll be some follow-up questions to some of these things that we'll talk about, but that is perfect. And then we'll keep going on. And Jeff is he and I kind of moderate the calls together, so I'll let you take it over there, Jeff, for a minute.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jordan. The next question was about pasteurized products, specifically pasteurized dairy products and things like that. Are those healthy, unhealthy? What's your take on that?
Well, there's probably about 10 elements of conventional dairy that are not good. Pasteurization of both dairy and juices is widely used. It's said to be a safety measure. And while you have certainly seen people have bacterial illnesses result from unpasteurized products, I really believe that the compulsory pasteurization of dairy is not beneficial to us. I think, in fact, it allows for farmers and dairy companies to be lax in their sanitation and cleanliness because they think that pasteurization is going to come behind and kill all the germs. And so I think when you destroy bacteria and you destroy enzymes through pasteurization, you're ultimately making things harder to digest and causing challenges. Now, there are multiple ways to pasteurize. There are less intensive ways, such as vat pasteurization or low-temperature pasteurization. But in general, when you're consuming fruits, fruit juices, healthy dairy products, which, again, there are multiple reasons why current dairy products are not helpful for us, I believe pasteurization does destroy some level of nutrition, deactivates all the enzymes, and in a perfect world, it would be better to consume dairy products from your own animals and fruits and vegetable juices you make yourself, consume fresh or fermented, like sauerkraut is fermented cabbage, yogurt or kefir is fermented dairy product. So that's really what would be preferable. The biggest issue with pasteurization, it destroys an enzyme called phosphatase, which is critical for the absorption and utilization of calcium. And that's how they measure thorough pasteurization, is the complete absence of phosphatase. So there is no doubt in my mind that in the Bible they did not pasteurize dairy. And if you're trying to consume food similar to that model, finding a clean source of raw dairy products, particularly from goats, sheep, or a certain type of cattle like that which we have at Beyond Organic is best.
Great. Yeah. Great. Very good.
Very good. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody out. Jordan, if you logged in as a moderator, then you won't be. And if you didn't, then you can hit star 6 and unmute it. But hopefully, let me just do this real quick.
This is
okay,
Cooper.
So then we can just keep rolling on. So the next thing is just kind of a general question, but what would you say are the most toxic things? And I want to say foods, but kind of like I know some of these things that we consume today aren't really foods. But what would you say are the most toxic things that people should avoid, and that just about everybody should avoid?
Well, I have a list in most of my books that I call the dirty or the deadly dozen, and I'll list three of those today. One of them is the category known as detestable animal things. So this would be also described as non-kosher foods. I think the kosher term is misapplied. So I would avoid, like the plague, all pork, shellfish, and derivations thereof. I know there's a theological argument that Jesus declared all foods clean. Even if he did declare all foods clean, pork and shellfish were never considered a food by God in his word. And since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and since pigs and scallops haven't changed their physiology, they are garbage filters. They have no way to filter out toxins. They are toxic themselves. There's no way to make them organic or healthy. They are repositories for waste. So I think number one, detestable animal things is the worst. Secondly, artificial sweeteners are really challenging, and that's the red, yellow, and blue packets. We will realize in the next 10 years that they are chemicals that cause destruction, great destruction in some, but minor issues with others. They're addictive. They were not created by God. And I believe that we're going to look back and wish that our loved ones and for some of us, ourselves, did not consume them. And number three, hydrogenated oils. Anything that starts as a vegetable oil that is hydrogenated, you can find this on almost every processed baked good, fast foods, etc. Hydrogenated oils or damaged fats cause great problems in the body's immune system, the digestive tract, and the brain. So those are very harmful, and those are the three areas that I would start with avoiding. Sugar's on there, too, and there's a list of other things. But another big category, conventional or non-organic dairy, beef, and poultry, farmed fish, and factory-raised eggs are all negative, and one of the main reasons is they contain residues of chemicals, particularly antibiotics. 70% of the antibiotics used in America are in our livestock, and they will get passed through to the food. So if you consume a non-organic dairy product, you could get the residue of up to 30 chemicals or drugs, including antibiotics, and you may not even take medication, but you're getting them in your system at low levels, and it's very detrimental.
Jeez. Well, that is, that's great. That's amazing. Well, I think the next question, Jeff, I don't know if you want to take it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the,
yeah, absolutely.
What we were.
Yeah, absolutely. You touched on it already, but the next question is kind of concerns the, you know, abominable and detestable things that we see in the Bible. And one of the funny things is, I was always brought up and raised up, as a Christian, you know, to believe that those things that God called detestable and abominable were pretty much just for Israel, you know, to set them apart, and it didn't have anything to do with us. It's Old Covenant, Old Testament stuff, and that ended, and, you know, it made perfect sense to me, and I didn't worry about it. But what was really funny is I had been reading a magazine, and they did this article on shrimp. And they were talking about how most of our shrimp in the U.S. comes from Thailand. And then they went over there and investigated it, and it was just like a cesspool of just disgusting everything. You know, these pits, these vats that they would pump full of pesticides and antibiotics, and it was just disgusting. So even though I thought it was okay to eat shrimp or whatever, I stopped eating it right away. I couldn't eat another one. And then I kind of started looking into it. And then I think right about that time, funny how God works, is Cole said, "Hey, have you seen this book, The Maker's Diet?" And that's kind of how I was introduced to you. That just confirmed everything else. And that began a long journey. And so now, today, I am completely convinced in my mind that those things were detestable and abominable. They still are. God doesn't change. And so now I avoid those things like the plague. But here's the big question that I'm sure you get all the time. Is given all these theological arguments, Old Testament, New Testament, covenant, this and that, the question is, should people eat clean today? Should people avoid those animals in the Bible that are called detestable and abominable? Or is that really just a thing that was for the Jews?
Well, it really could be answered multiple ways. I'm assuming that everyone that's listening believes that the Ten Commandments are for all believers. The fact is, and I am Jewish, so it's I can answer it a couple of ways. But I was more raised in the church than I was otherwise. I've been saved since I was a child, and my folks became believers when I was 2 years old. So I was more raised in a, let's call it, a New Testament outlook. And so I believe that the grafted in believers who are from the nations or the Gentiles receive the promises of the Jews, the chosen people, and they're responsible, I believe, to follow God's commandments. And we can get into a lot of arguments about whether we need to honor the Sabbath, what day is the Sabbath. We can talk about some of the 613 laws that are very much geographical and time stamped. In other words, sitting on a bench that your wife sat on a week ago with her unclean cleanliness. There's a lot of that. But I adopt children, and we have five children that are either adopted or soon to be adopted. And by adopting them, we A, provide them with all the benefits of being our biological children, and we also require them to do the same chores around the house and have the same responsibility. And I believe that this can be answered in a similar way. People ask me, well, Jordan, is it a sin to eat shellfish and pork? And I'm going to answer it the easy way, or some might say, get out of it. If you are convicted, like you have been, if you're convicted about this and you ignore the Holy Spirit speaking to you through God's commandments and a revelation that you receive, then I would say you are transgressing from God's plan for your life. But I could also make the argument / joke that says, yeah, you can eat shellfish and pork and get to heaven. You'll just get there a lot sooner. Bottom line, the wages of sin is death. I promise you that you can die from what you put in your mouth. We know that from many poisons that if you put in your mouth, you will die from. why would it be any different if you consumed something toxic? And I will say the added part of the verse where it says, thus declaring all foods clean, that was added much later than the original canon. So I can make theological arguments. Peter's dream really didn't have to do with eating things as much as fellowshipping with non-Jews. I can tell you that there's no proof that Jesus or any of the disciples, even after that point, ever consumed anything that was detestable. Certainly there, in Paul's letters, you hear about being free to eat anything, and you can't judge people by that. And if I'm sitting at a table with people eating one thing, I'll eat what they serve. But if it's a stumbling block, I won't. Bottom line, folks, if you at all care about your health, I think you can live without pork and shellfish. Give it a try. I believe you'll find that those are no better for you to eat than skunks, rats, and dogs, which you wouldn't eat here in America. But guess what? Other nations, they do. So hopefully that'll help. I know there's no definitive answer. But if you have discussions on end times, if you have discussions on biblical concepts like who and what are the Nephilim, the Sethite theory versus the giant theory. You know, there's so many things we can argue about that we'll never know. But for me, you can try to live without pork and shellfish and other unclean or detestable things, and you'll know. But I think that's the best I can answer it. It's a no-no.
Yeah, I think that's a fair answer. That's a fair answer. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the last question that we have here, and then before we open it up, is the paleo diet is obviously been popular in those last couple of years, and one of the things that's always kind of been a red flag for me, not a red flag, it has been a red flag, but I don't understand some of the thinking, and anyway, I'm just curious to get your thoughts on this, and that is the eating of wheat. And I understand there's a difference between, you know, whole grain flour and white flour, but I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are on, because the paleo diet seems to put down, you know, any kind of wheat product, but what are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well, first of all, you give me a lot of fodder for an answer here. Number one, it bothers me, and then I'll be very clear, and I think this is done by accident. It bothers me when Christians use the term paleo diet. I hope I don't have to tell you why, but I'm happy to. Obviously, if we believe in the creation story, even if we believe in creation as longer than 7 days, even if we believe a day in the eyes of God is 1,000 years, or if we believe in an old earth theory from a biblical perspective, I still don't see how we could have gone through a Paleolithic period, which is at the heart of evolution. So if they're looking at when we were different species or evolving, we ate certain things in the wild, etc. I'll say from a biblical standpoint, as soon as Adam and Eve were out of the garden and their children, they began to cultivate the ground. And while I believe that the ultimate diet for people and the ultimate way to raise food is a perennial form of agriculture, which the Garden of Eden was, which didn't require tilling or tending, et cetera, just picking and eating, I do believe that the theory and the concept behind a blood-type diet or a paleo diet is anti-biblical. So hopefully one day I'll come out with a biblio diet, which can help us who are believers not use terms that don't glorify God. And that's my opinion. Take it for what it is. It's a little bit of a criticism, but I believe most folks that use the term paleo, they don't really think about it as any type of biblical context. I will say this, that the wheat that we consume today is largely changed from the wheat that God calls the bread of life. I mean, it is very difficult when our Savior's called the bread of life and we're told to avoid bread. I do think the high levels of gluten and the other proteins and carbohydrates in wheat, rye, barley, and other grains can be challenging to us because of the damage that it causes. If you can find a more biblical, less hybridized form of wheat, einkorn is the best, kamut, spelt, those are others that are less hybridized, you're better off. Even better than that is a sprouted whole grain. And better than that would be a sprouted sourdough whole grain. And if you need to avoid consumption of wheat, do it. It's, again, it's not going to hurt you to avoid wheat. Don't do it because the paleo diet authors say so. to it because the wheat is greatly changed from what it used to be.
Good. Well, you know, one of the things kind of similar to what you started with there, one of the things that just bothers me like crazy when I first heard this, I was like, you've got to be kidding me, but the term eating clean, and it's, you know, they're pro-pork and pro-whatever. It's got nothing to do with clean and unclean from the Bible, but to me it's like, man, what in the world would they say this for and call it clean eating and stuff like that? It bothers me incredibly, so kind of think along the same lines of what you were saying there. Crazy.
Yeah, and I should add one more thing. They're showing now that the sprays that wheat require in the conventional world or that are used, the glyphosate-containing pesticides, glyphosate intolerance mimics gluten intolerance. And so if you're consuming conventional wheat, you're even worse off. But, yeah, clean it is a joke that clean eating, in my mind, involves the consumption of some of these animals. But that's really where the biblical diet can separate from the others. I know many people say a biblical diet is the Genesis diet or the Garden of Eden diet, and I truly believe that God allows, if not wants us to consume animal food, certainly based on the great men and women of God who have consumed it. But if you believe in just the biblical diet from the sense of Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, it's different from any diet because it recommends avoiding those, and you can still follow the principles of a paleo diet while avoiding the detestable animal things. And notice I use the word detestable because various states of uncleanness can be remedied through washing and isolation or just removal of an individual, quarantining. That is not the case with animal flesh.
Right.
And let me just throw this out there. It's a good visual and a memory. I usually say biblical eating rule number one, thou shalt not eat anything that Jesus cast demons into. I'll let you ruminate on that.
Well, that wraps up our main questions here. I'd love to have a few minutes here for people if anybody has a question from something that we've discussed or something totally different. Now is the opportunity, and I did mute everybody out, so if you do have a question and you haven't unmuted yourself, just hit *6, that'll unmute you. And then are you okay for a few more minutes, Jordan?
Sure.
Okay, fantastic. How much more time do you have, Jordan?
If we could wrap it up in the next 5 to 10 minutes, that'd be great.
Okay. All right, okay. We'll do it there, sure.
Yep, we'll do it, and then we'll continue on, and we'll discuss things, but absolutely, that would be great. If you can hang another 5 or 10, that's perfect, and that'd be great. I've got just a quick one while people are unmuting or whatever, unless somebody thinks of something, interrupt me if you want, but just real quick, what are your thoughts? This is a huge thing, and I don't know if you want to address it or not, but what are your thoughts on immunizations?
You know, that is a great question and something I'm going to get answered during the discussions of custody with a couple of our new daughters. And it's we're sort of being painted as mavericks because we don't vaccinate our children. Let me start by saying this. My father, who's a chiropractor and a naturopath, did not believe in immunizations, particularly the way that they're done. And I didn't get childhood immunizations, but I chose to have one. A vaccination when I was 15. It was called MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella. It was a live virus as opposed to previously being a inactivated virus. And I don't know if this is why I developed symptoms of Crohn's disease and immune system and gut issues 3.5 years later, but there is research. I don't care what the conventional medical community says. There is research showing that vaccination, especially MMR, can cause gut and brain issues. Here's where I stand. I believe that there's no reason for studies to be done to paint vaccines in a negative light. There's no one to fund these studies. So any studies done on vaccinations are done by the drug manufacturers. And now they're becoming compulsory in certain states. It's really a bummer. But let's say this. At the very least, the amount of vaccinations kids receive by the time they're 2 years old is ludicrous. At best, it should be spread out and not forced upon us because our medical system is so broken. But here's what I say. I do not believe that anyone should just listen to an individual and either not vaccinate or vaccinate. The problem is everybody blindly vaccinates. Nobody knows what's going on. I've met hundreds of parents who claimed that the day their child was vaccinated, they stopped talking, they changed, they regressed. My former pastor's grandson is one. You know, there's so many people. I've met them, and I've talked to the parents.
Yeah.
All I'll say is this. Become educated. Don't go for vaccinations because everyone does, and don't avoid them because someone said they're bad. Do the research. There is plenty there. This is not a black and white issue. I don't choose to vaccinate my children. That's my personal choice, and you can get exemptions. I believe there's biblical grounds for not vaccinating because the vaccines are comprised of organisms and even extracts of unclean or detestable animals that don't belong in your body, not to mention preservatives and chemicals like thimerosal, a mercury-containing chemical that has been used quite often, is being phased out, but not quite. So I don't do it, but I would never tell anyone to not vaccinate blindly. Go and do the research and just make a thoughtful decision. Don't let your parents, your grandparents, your in-laws, or your friends convince you. Be convinced yourself.
Very good. Very good.
Well, good. I have a question.
Go for it.
Oh, good. How do we, and how do you, how do we be honest about not walking with the world, what they're called sustainability? Because at the point of the gun, point of the knife, we will all be marching to the sustainable way of eating and caring for the land. I mean, there's people dying and different groups, Mennonite groups down in Uruguay are being murdered by UN troops and the indigenous Indians being armed because they're not tilling the land the way the United Nations should want you to do it. So how do we walk and do these right things you're talking about but not be part of the creeping green UN agenda?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think there are many ways to practice self. I call it something different. I call it ecological regeneration or regenerative agriculture because we don't want to sustain what's broken. We want to regenerate lost. And the folks, this is a biblical message at the heart. This isn't something that's leftist. It's not something that is UN-driven. And there are ways. We practice something now that we call permaculture. And we're actually at our Beyond Organic Ranch. We are training the next generation of organic farmers, whether you have a backyard or 10,000 acres. Our first permaculture design course is going to be in October. And this is not a biblical organization who brought the message of permaculture, but I can tell you every aspect of it, from resting the land to not hybridizing, it is very biblical at its heart. So we can't allow certain groups to think that they own the sustainability or green movement. Building topsoil is what all of us need to contribute to doing, whether it's voting with our dollars or composting in our backyard. We have to do this. Topsoil is our biological capital. It's our inheritance. It's our future, and it's needed. So I believe this is the heart of God as it relates to how we consume food, and we should not avoid things just because we don't agree with the people that are promoting those ideas. Paleo is something I would say is the opposite. I think that the people that are promoting those ideas, there is a hidden agenda there. But when it comes to building topsoil, regenerating the land, I don't think we can look at it as anything other than biblical. It's just a shame that Christians don't own this messaging.
Hmm. Now, I hear you use the word we and our, us, and that those are all collective terms. I'm saying the self, the individualist, the target is on us. Anybody's individualist, an individual farmer, we boil it down, will not exist, is not existing. I am one, and they will not exist in this future creepy global gooey one world corporation thing. So what you're saying is nice, but used here, I'm hearing some collective terms, you know, us and them and must. That's what they use in the double speak, but I don't know. I'm just curious. I saw your website. I know I have all your books. I have everything, and kind of sorts this through. and be self-governed, well, that's not, that doesn't go and fly whatsoever in the new creepiness. You know, there's no individualism. No, all you guys, get used to it. Your individual farm, individual anything out of the sustainable grid zone, you know, the stack and pack will not exist shortly.
Hmm.
Well, I can't say that I agree completely with what you're saying, but I know that there is a certain undercurrent that there are individuals who are power brokers that want to see all of the individuality and freedom cease to exist. And so I know there are several steps to take to avoid that happening, you know, across the board, but certainly I think those of us who value our freedom and our ability to produce food, consume foods off of our own land that are not in an unregulated fashion, you know, there are steps we can take to protect ourselves. But ultimately, I think people are going to have to die for what they believe in at some point? That's what the Bible says. So I can't tell you that I have any more protection other than being someone who trusts God to use us in these perilous times and having a plan to try to protect what I believe God has given me stewardship over. And so I try to stay up to speed on what's happening and propose legislation, et cetera. But I don't think anybody, on a large scale is going to be prepared for a political situation that is socialist, communist, or worse. And something like martial law, which certainly could happen. But again, the best we can do is try to have some active food producing, water producing, protection, hydration opportunities. And you'll be one of the latter people to go down if you do that, in my opinion.
Right. Well, you know, I know you're about out of time, and I want to encourage people to go to Live Beyond Organic and take a look at what. It's just some things that are available there that Jordan has available.
Can I ask one question of him?
If you've got another, if it's a quick question, then maybe we can squeeze one more in real quick. That'd be good.
Yes, I would like to ask if does he use whole wheats in his pastas? I know there's a lot of pastas on your list.
Are you saying, and I'm sorry, can you use whole wheat as a pasta? Is that what you're saying?
Are your pastas, you have a lot of pastas on your food list.
Okay, are they whole wheat? Are you referring to?
I don't know. Did you send Cole? You sent a website. Is that his website?
Yeah, livebeyondorganic.com. I think he was looking at some of the products on there, Jordan, and he was curious if the pastas that are there are made with was the question with whole grains?
Whole grains, yeah.
Okay, you must be talking about recipes. Is that what you're referring to? We don't have any pastas available, but when I recommend. Yeah, in recipes, the best pasta out, there's probably two pastas that actually have wheat that are the best. One would be, I would get a spelt whole grain pasta. The other would be a sprouted whole grain pasta. But there are some decent pastas that are made with brown rice and some that are made with corn and quinoa. It really just depends. It's up to you. I don't believe you need pasta to live, certainly. But if you're going to consume pasta, be a label reader, and I would say that a less hybridized form of wheat, a sprouted whole grain, or a wheat alternative whole grain pasta like brown rice, quinoa, or corn are best.
Fantastic. Super. Well, is there anything, Jordan, that you wanted to say in addition before you have to take off?
I think we are all set, gentlemen. I mean, obviously, we could argue and discuss one point, especially if you're talking about end times and that last question, obviously, there's a lot more that of thoughts that I have, but I don't really know the message and the discussion points and your theology, so I certainly don't want to delve into a path that would be contrary to what anybody here says or believes without knowing what I'm doing first. But look, there's no one answer to any of the challenges that we're facing, but I do believe that if your heart is to follow God and you are open-minded and attempt to at least not be dogmatic, there are opportunities for us to know the truth, and that truth sets us free. And I think people paint themselves as experts, but those who truly know something realize that every day all they know is more of what they don't know and need to learn. So the best teachers are students, and I certainly am learning more and more each and every day about all of these different areas. So hopefully my experience can contribute a little bit to somebody's life, and that's really what my hope is.
That's awesome. That is fantastic, and I think it certainly is, and we appreciate you taking the time, being with us, and we will continue to discuss some of this stuff. And with that, again, livebeyondorganic.com, The Maker's Diet, if anybody on the call hasn't read it, I would absolutely recommend it. And thank you very much for being with us, Jordan, and hopefully we'll talk again. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Sounds great. Thanks, gentlemen. God bless.